Grace and peace are yours in abundance in your knowledge of God and your Savior, Jesus Christ. God's word for us on this Palm Sunday is drawn from the 12th chapter of John. Again, we hear at the beginning of this passage, "The next day, the large crowd that had come to the feast heard that Jesus was coming to Jerusalem, so they took branches of palm trees and went out to meet him, crying out, 'Hosanna! Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord, even the King of Israel.' And Jesus found a young donkey and sat on it, just as it is written, 'Fear not, daughter of Zion. Behold, your king is coming, sitting on a donkey's colt.' His disciples did not understand these things at first, but when Jesus was glorified, then they remembered that these things had been written about him and had been done to him. The crowd that had been with him when he called Lazarus out of the tomb and raised him from the dead continued to bear witness." This is God's word. Who was watching the parade on that fateful Palm Sunday? Who were the faces in the crowd? Just like at any modern parade or mass gathering, there were people from different walks of life represented on the Palm Sunday parade route. John mentions at least three distinct groups of people who were there when Jesus entered Jerusalem riding on that donkey's colt. These groups and individuals each had their own ideas about the one for whom this impromptu parade was being thrown. For a brief time, they seemed to be united in their excitement, shouting, "Hosanna!" A word taken from Psalm 118, which just happens to be a messianic psalm. And the word "Hosanna," as you just heard, means, "Save us now." But don't you wonder what all these different people were asking to be saved from? Who does John mention in this passage? Well, first of all, in verse 12, we're introduced to the large crowd that had come to the feast. And the feast mentioned here is the feast of the Passover. Population of Jerusalem would routinely swell during this big holy day. And this combination of residents and guests would go out with palm branches in hand to meet Jesus. Now we need to know that the palm branch was more than just a handy thing to wave. It had become a symbol of the Jewish nation. The Jewish nation that deeply desired independence from Roman rule. Their enthusiasm to greet Jesus had been fueled by reports that he had actually raised someone from the dead. Could this miracle worker be the one to restore Israel and become its new king? The large crowd that had come to the feast seemed to think so. The next group John mentions is the crowd that had been with him when he called Lazarus out of the tomb. And a couple things are implied here. One is that this group accompanied Jesus along the parade route and were distinct from the crowd that had come out of Jerusalem to greet him. Another is that this group included the 12 disciples. What is not implied, but explicitly stated, is that this group continued to bear witness about the great sign that Jesus had done in raising Lazarus from the dead. This bunch we might call the true believers. They had seen many of Jesus' miracles. They themselves had said things like, "We believe and have come to know that you are the Holy One of God," right to Jesus' face. But in the spirit of full disclosure, John also reports that they did not understand these things at first. It was only after Jesus was glorified that they truly saw the big picture. Now, the last group John mentions is the Pharisees, the obvious enemies of Jesus. Already in the fifth chapter of John's Gospel, he had revealed that the Pharisees wanted to kill Jesus. Allegedly, Jesus had blasphemed, and so they deemed him worthy of death. It's useless, they say, here in this passage. The world is going after him. But Jesus' surging popularity does not make them give up. On the contrary, their plan to get rid of this rabble-rousing rabbi goes into overdrive. So that's quite a mix of people lining that palm-strewn pathway. You have curiosity seekers. You have people who are willing to jump on the bandwagon if it means an independent Israel. You have the true believers who had been with Jesus from the beginning. And you have his sworn enemies, all with their own hopes, their own expectations about that man on the donkey's back. And all of them, curiosity seekers, bandwagon jumpers, enemies, and true believers, will be forced to reevaluate their hopes, their expectations, when the parade grinds to a halt at the hill of the skull. For some, the death of Jesus on the cross is going to be disappointing. For others, it's going to be earth-shattering. And for others, it'll be problem solved. But all of them were sure that the story of Jesus had come to an end. Now, if you were to be transported somehow and dropped into the crowd on that Palm Sunday, where would you fit in? Would you find company among Jesus' enemies? Are you skeptical of the claims Jesus makes? Would you prefer not to have to deal with or listen to this Jesus at all? Well, I hope not, obviously. But there are many who still seek to silence the Son of God. Would you find kindred spirits among those who hope Jesus would guarantee worldly prosperity? Are you looking for Jesus to come through with something that's really going to improve your circumstances in life? And if you don't get what you want, will you stick with him? Would you find a place among the true believers, ready and willing to follow Jesus wherever he might lead? Are you sure about that? Even if it means following Jesus into a suffering like his. Even if that means people look at you funny. Even if that means your life is on the line. Many people want the benefits of being a true believer, but are you willing to pay the personal and social cost for being a follower of Jesus? No matter who you identify with in the Palm Sunday parade, the cross of Jesus gives you reason to reevaluate the expectations you have of him. And here's what I mean. Jesus did not ride that donkey into Jerusalem to improve our lives. He did it to save our lives. The King of Kings did not ride into Jerusalem to replace Roman rulers, but to rescue the human race. Jesus did not endure the agony of the cross to change the political landscape, but to fundamentally change you. Instead of marching immediately to a throne, Jesus stumbled up the hill of the skull and was executed. This was not some accident. It was the plan. It had been all along. God punished His Son, the Messiah, the Holy One of God, instead of punishing human beings for their sins, instead of punishing you and me for our sins. By going to the cross, Jesus answered the Hosanna request. We are saved now. Saved from eternal torment. Saved from eternal separation from everything that is good and holy. Saved, in other words, from hell. Because Jesus took our death sentence. The King took the punishment His people deserved. This was not the salvation that anyone was expecting. It's not always what we're expecting or even looking for from God. But what Jesus has done meets our deepest need. You can know at the very bottom of your heart that you are loved and you are forgiven, and that God is for you, not against you. Whatever your expectations were of Jesus when you entered this place today, please hear me on this. Jesus has died your death and offers you a new life. You are forgiven of all your sin. You have eternal life starting at this moment. Jesus is alive, and He is with you now in your pain as well as in your joy. When sinners pray, Hosanna, save me now, Lord Jesus, He says, I have. I will. I do. Then He forgives sins in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. He adopts people through water and His holy name. He feeds people His body and blood for the forgiveness of sins and renewal of faith. Hosanna. This is our word now. It's what Jesus does. We pray. Lord Jesus Christ, King of Kings, like the crowd that welcomed you into Jerusalem that day, we have all sorts of expectations and hopes of who you are and what you will do for us. You answered the question of who you were by going to the cross, bearing our sins, and then raised from the dead, emerging from your tomb, alive at Easter. In that you show who you are and what your kingdom consists of. And so we are moved today to truly say, save us now, Lord Jesus. Cleanse us from our sins. Establish our standing with your Father so that we can live our lives joyfully to you and know that we are more than just subjects of the King, but we are dearly loved children of the Father. Hosanna in your name, Lord Jesus. Amen.